beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
The prayer for revival is something that we can never stop praying. There are many divides to revival. Many people have different things to say concerning revival. But you see, my stance remains the same. Revival is not just coming from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of this dear son. Revival also is reawakening. The Bible says, awake thou that sleepeth. Are we together? Revival is reawakening. And there come times in our life where we slumber and we sleep. Not because we want to sleep. In fact, some people that feed their even awake, some of them are sleeping. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of them are sleeping. They don't even know they are sleeping. And they don't know that they are sleeping, so they are sleeping. There are times that we sleep because there are many things that are taking our attention. Family is taking our attention. You know, you can become so active that you become actively unproductive. That's one of the problems even the church is having. The truth of Jesus is so activity conscious and on a larger scale, unproductive. Are we together? Because the fruit of our activity is that our society must be changed. Are you getting me? The proof that we are active is that we must be productive. And if we are productive, our society must feel the impact of our productivity. That's simple. There's nothing anybody can tell me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Holy Spirit, we ask that you grant us revelation, grant us inspiration today. Teach us and help us to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's nothing anybody can tell me. The proof that we are active is that we must be productive. And the proof that we are productive is that it will show in our society. If our society is not being changed by our seemingly activity, then we are just wasting time being active. Are you get what I'm saying? The church is not called to have a mega party indoor. No, we're called. Jesus, after the Pentecost, after the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, are you get what I'm saying? And they spoke in other tongues, and Peter spoke out. After then, they went out. They went out. The church is a place where we come and fuel ourselves, the gathering of the believer. The gathering, because you and I are the church, the gathering of the believer is where we come and fuel ourselves so we can go out and deliver. So if all we do is fuel and fuel and fuel and we are not delivering, then there's something wrong. Sir, you fuel your car. Why do you fuel your car? Is it to go and park it in your garage? Do you fuel your car to go and park it in your compound?
No.
Do you fuel your car to go and park it in your garage?
No,
it's not done. So if we are failing our car must go out and work. It must go out and work. We can't fuel the car and keep it in the garage. It's not done. Gathering together is filling stations. The Bible says he has given them apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. We have gotten it wrong over the years. We believe that the work of the ministry is done by the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. No, they don't do the work of the ministry. No, they don't do it. Are you getting me? They equip the saints for the saints to go and do what? The work of the ministry. The 5-1 office does not do the work. They are filling station. Have you ever seen a filling station that goes to carry passengers? Have you seen a filling station, the filling tank that carries people to the house? No! The filling station does not do the job of the car. Are you getting me? The filling station equips the car for the car to go out and do its work. The work of the ministry belongs to the saints. Are you getting what I'm saying? And don't forget that even those in the 5-foot ministry, they are still part of the saints. They are still part of the saints. So God gives them an office so they can equip the saints, because they have grown in their knowledge of the things of God more than the other saints. Are you getting what I'm saying? He gives them the office to be able to what? Fill up the saints, equip them so they can go out there and do work on it. Where is the work of the ministry done? It's not done in the gathering of the saints. The gathering of the saints is a filling station. Bible says, iron sharpened iron. So the countenance of a brother sharpened that of another brother. When we gather together, so sharpen ourselves. Have you seen two knives that sharpen themselves and try to cut themselves? No! No! Are you getting me? Except there's a war. Is that not so? When there's a war, two knives that have been sharpened fight each other. And that's what's happening in the church. I sharpen myself. You sharpen yourself. We now start fighting ourselves. Go on social media. Christians start fighting themselves. Knives are not sharpened. Swords are not sharpened to cut them, to fight themselves, to cut themselves. Swords are sharpened to go and cut meat outside. Is that not so? Cut different things. Not to cut themselves. But if we are cutting ourselves, it means that we have lost focus on what we are meant to be cutting. As simple as that. We have lost focus. Bible says, iron sharpeneth what? Iron. So you come as iron, I come as iron, I sharpen you, and why am I sharpening you? You are sharpening me and sharpening. So we'll go out there and cut all the things we are meant to cut off. Cut the chains. Cut the shackles, the bondages that are holding the people in darkness. We have to go out and cut. But if after we sharpen ourselves, we now start trying to cut ourselves, it means we are at war with ourselves. And the Bible says, Jesus speaking, he said, a kingdom that is against itself cannot stand. So why are Christians clashing with each other? Because we don't know what we are meant to be cutting. I sharpen you not so that I can show that I know better than you. No. You sharpen me not so that you can show that you know better than me. No. You sharpen me and I sharpen you so you can go out there and cut all the nonsense that the devil is using to tie people. So, we come together so that we can go out. It began in Pentecost. It must continue. We come together so that we can go out. So for those who say that the church does not need revival again, they are the ones that actually need revival. They are the ones that actually need revival because it shows they are sleeping. If the church is revived the way it's meant to be, sir, it will show in our environment. It will show in our society. Among the 10 greatest revivals, one of them was the Welsh revival. The Welsh revival was a revival that was so strong that the moons are kind of like donkeys. They were using them in the mind for work. The moons in the mind had to be changed. They had to overhaul them, change all of them. Why? Because the people that were using them could no longer insult the moons and abuse them. So the moons were used to insult and abuse. But when revival hit the city, the people who were using the moves could no longer insult again. They could no longer abuse again. And those moves were used to beating and insult and abuse. So when they saw that their operators could no longer abuse and could no longer insult, they could not work. Are you getting me? So they had to change them totally. That's what we're talking about, sir. Yes, where even animals are, where animals feel the effect of revival. Are you getting me? Animals. Joel 2 verse 8 says, God has been saying, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. What flesh there means? Everything that has skin. So it's not only human being. Are you getting me? It's even animals. And the Bible says that Jesus has reconciled the world to the Father. The world is everything that is in this system, in these ages, both human beings, animals, they are reconciled. So if revival happens, even the animals are to feel the impact. Question I ask, are the animals in the environment feeding the Jesus that we are carrying? I'm going too far, because I'm supposed to start with the human beings. Are the human beings in our society feeling the Jesus that we say we carry. We have come to a point in the church where we are filled with arguments, but little to no result. We sharpen ourselves so we cut ourselves. No, sir. No, we don't sharpen to cut ourselves. Are you getting me? We sharpen to go out and what? Cut devils outside here. But go online. You see us cutting ourselves. So I go and study Bible so that I should know better than my brother. And I'll start cutting my brother. And when two iron are cutting each other, it is war. And there is war in the body. In the body of Christ. There's war. There's war. There's war. There's war. There's war. There is war. There is war. Go online, you see the war. Go on Facebook, you see the war. Go on Twitter, you see the war. Irons are cutting each other. Whereas iron are not meant to be cutting each other. Are we together? We're not meant to cut each other. The sign of war is that irons cut each other. That's to show that war is at work. You will hear the sound of what? Irons cutting each other. And look in the church today, the sound is too loud. The sound is too loud. It's too loud. It's too loud. You see one pastor come out and talk here. Another man of God come out and talk here. Another come out and fight here. And even that serious now that men of God are now going to television stations, secular television stations, to come and fight another man of God theology and doctrine. And I ask a question. It's not the same Bible we are reading. And we say there's no need for revival. My brother, the church now, we are the ones that need revival. This church, yes. This thing we're calling church now. This thing we're calling church. Let me. What we are calling church today? See, we need. In fact, we need revival more than the first church, more than Pentecost. Because we need revival more than Pentecost. This thing we say we are doing. We need revival more than Peter. More than anybody. Because how did we come to this point where iron that are meant to sharpen each other start cutting each other? How did we get here? And somebody says we don't need revival. That's bullshit. I get what I'm saying. That's rubbish. How did we come to this point? How did we get here? That is the reason why, you see, the devil does not have a problem when we fight ourselves. Why? It's simple. Put them against each other and they will forget about us. That's what the devil is saying. Simple. Very simple. If he just can set us against ourselves as believers, we'll forget about him. And we'll carry on fighting ourselves. Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. The strategy of the devil is make them fight themselves. We'll carry on doing our thing. It's as simple as that. Just allow them to be fighting themselves, we'll be enjoying our feeling. Look at the more we are arguing doctrine, arguing what else again, church? We are arguing so many things. See, the kingdom of darkness is increasing its hold on people. We argue, you know, we are fighting ourselves. And the kingdom of darkness says, let them fight themselves. Continue fighting yourself so that we can have time to do our thing. Before, they used to call them secret society. Is that not so? Secret society. And we used to be the public faith. Now it is changing.
Yeah.
It is changing, you know. Now they are now becoming the secret society, are now becoming the public society, and we are now becoming the secret faith. When the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2, they could not hold it. Everybody that was in that room knew that God had, the Holy Spirit had come. 3,000 people were saved, and the disciples entered into the streets. Because of the way they entered into the street, they called them Christians. Christianos, followers of Christ, they enter the street. The Bible speaking says, and they said, these are the men that have turned the world upside down. These be the men that have turned the world upside down. They knew the streets knew it, sir. The streets knew it. The streets knew it. They said, these ones, they have turned the world upside down. The streets could recognize it. These guys, the Holy Spirit they received, could not keep them inside church. But I don't know the kind of Holy Spirit we receive. The Holy Spirit we receive is locking us inside church. So I don't know the one we receive. Whether it's different from the one they receive. Can you get what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit they received could not keep them inside the four walls. They had to run out. They could not contain it. They had to run out. It was too much. But the one we have received is locking us inside. And You know, when he locks us inside, it makes us start fighting each other. Iron start fighting each other. I see the way the church is going, I pray that God does not allow another persecution come. Because persecution that has to correct our brain. And Christians, it's only persecution that corrects our brain. It's only persecution. The first church, when we were persecuted, I was studying online, and I discovered that there was a particular Roman emperor that persecuted the church. And the Christians had to go and hide in an alley, just like from this door now to here, a long one. Thousands of Christians were inside that place. How they stack themselves like sardine? Or like what now? How they stack themselves together? Only God knew. All of them were stacked there. Because yes, the Roman emperor was killing the Christians. So the ones that could go and hide there, they went to hide there. Now, in that kind of situation, you will not complain whether your brother's mouth is smelling. You complain.
No.
Whether your sister has body odor. You complain. Say, Charlie, you've not brushed your mouth. Mouth is smelling. I don't like this, your mouth odor. The survivor, we are trying to be alive. So if your mouth smells, no problem, so long as I don't die. Yeah, how the way it itself, we don't even know. You say, this is your body. I don't like your body odor this morning. No, you don't bath this morning. Some of us, you don't bath. All this nonsense, that all this rubbish that we are doing is because we have not seen some dimension of persecution. You know, somebody was speaking once and he said, the church in Nigeria, the Southern church in Nigeria, people here, we're thankful to God. The Southern church in Nigeria is a luxurious church. Church that talks on financial prosperity every now and then. Church that believes that God is owing them something. So God, give me husband, give me wife, give me car, give me children, give me that. That's the church, the southern part of Nigeria, south, east, west. The church in that area, they are a church that the God that they serve is a God that is owing them. Yes. But you go to the northern part of Nigeria, where the Islamic persecution is high on the church. Yes. Very high on the church. See, for them, every day is living to die. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. What he said there was, if you go to the original Greek, he actually said, I am facing the danger of death on a daily basis. That means every day I wake up, I know that I may die today. Because of the challenges that are coming to me because of this gospel I'm preaching. So that's the way the Christians in the northern part of Nigeria live. My uncle died due to what? Crisis, Islamic crisis, in Potusku. When he died, my mother cried. He was a pastor. I never knew him. Oh, I wish I knew that one. I wish I knew that pastor. They told me about his son. His son, he plays the instrument. I never knew that guy. I wish I knew that guy. Maybe would have been the one that I'm still with by now. You know what I'm saying? I never knew him. It was in a crisis in the northern part of Nigeria. The Islamic crisis was going on. My wife lived in the north. Are you getting me? She saw this crisis. So when the crisis starts, hey! Something else. As they were doing the crisis was going on. He was running. They used a battle axe to axe him behind his head here. He fell backwards. Everybody was running for their life. Nobody could attend outside that. It was an Easterner in the northern part of Nigeria. When the crisis, we saw on this one was life. Somebody, they said she blasphemed. A student, they said she blasphemed against them. I know what. When she said what she said, she was pretty stubborn. They told her, please, because some one of them had to go and call the Al-Majiri's guys. Leave the campus. She didn't leave initially. When these guys came, they chased her. Even the security guards of the university could not protect her. They brought her out. They stoned her to death. Yes! They videoed it in my country. They stoned her to death. And they burnt her. Yeah. Nothing at the end of the day, there's nothing. The matter died. He died. They videoed it. He died. That's what Christians are facing in another part of my country. You get what I'm saying? And for them, serving God is a debt they owe to God. But in the southeast western part of my country, God owes them. So it's all messed up there. And that's the reason why even the impact effect of the Christianity cannot be felt in society. Sir, if we cannot feel our Jesus in our society, then this Jesus we are carrying is a questionable one. Because the Jesus that the first apostle carried is the Jesus that they used to turn their city upside down. Say, this be the man that has turned the world what? Upside down. They didn't say this is the man that turned our city upside down. They said this was the way they have done it. They have even turned the whole world upside down. If the Jesus we are carrying cannot affect our society, then we have to start questioning ourselves. Because the same Jesus that these first guys carried, are you getting me? And they turned their world upside down. What are we doing? The church, the gathering together of saints, is a filling station where we fill our tanks and go out and manifest. But you know what we want to do? All of us want to manifest inside filling station. How can car be trying to become to be filling station tank? No, now the car now says it wants to become the petrol distributor. What they used to say, petrol? The car. Is that the duty of the car? Everybody today is looking for pulpit to preach. Pulpit. Everyone. Once they catch small fire, they start looking for pulpit. Any small fire, they start looking for pulpit. When fire started entering our body, we started creating the pulpit. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you don't give me pulpit, I create it. Are you getting me? We create the pulpit. We are out there, we are evangelizing. We are winning souls. Just releasing it out. The Holy Spirit is not indwell us for us to become museums. Are you getting me? What do you do to a museum? In museum, they keep artifacts, is that not so? And people come and watch the artifacts. Are you getting me? For some of us, we have become artifacts in God. So we are being kept inside the museum. No. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know that artifacts in museum, they don't sell them. Are you getting me? They don't sell them. They just keep them there for people to come and watch. Some of us have become artifacts in the gathering of the saints. So people come and watch us the way we sing. Say, we can sing very well, though. See the way we dance. Say, these Christians can dance very well, though. And what else again? The way we preach, say they can preach, and that is all. No, we are not artifacts in a museum. The church is not a museum. Are you getting me? Sir, this place is not a museum. It's not a museum. It's a filling station. Have you seen any car that sleeps in a filling station? Eh? Any car? Or truck that sleeps in a filling station? Sir, it just came to sleep here. It just came to stay here. No. But this ideology we have today is because we have missed it somewhere. The need for revival is ever on the increase, especially in this Christianity we are practicing. Ions that are now fighting themselves. See, we need revival. We need to be reawakened to something that we have missed somewhere. We missed something somewhere. When ions fight each other, it is a proof that war is at work. That means there is war in this body. You get what I'm saying? And if there's war in the body, it's because some things are going wrong. And only a reawakening can do what? Can bring it right. I get what I'm saying? Only reawakening can bring it right. We have to be reawakened to the consciousness of who we are meant to be and who we are. Revival is not just come and pray and shout. No! It's bringing us to who we are. What we are created to do. What we are sent to do. When this awakening comes up in us, nobody needs to tell you to go out there and begin to reveal Jesus and begin to preach Jesus with your business, with your shop, with everything you are doing. Nobody will tell you. So the need for revival is on the increase in the church. Ever on the increase. Ever on the increase. Because we are not coming in terms with the reality of what God has promised. If the people in our society cannot feel the Jesus we are carrying, how will the animals now? Oh, we are talking about the people. The people have not felt it. How will the animals now feel it? I get nothing. And the Bible says, Romans chapter 8, verse 19, say, for the endless expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Ah! The earnest expectation of the creation, what? Is waiting for the manifestation. Why is he waiting? Because we have put them on wait for this too long. I get what I'm saying?
Yes.
We, the sons of God, have put the creation on wait list. There is a place for waiting, I agree. I get what I'm saying? Like we understood when Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. We understood that last week, that tarry means to sit. You have to, and to sit, you are waiting. When you come to an office, they tell you, sit and wait. There's a place of sitting. And for, before you get, when you get born again, you don't need to sit to receive the Holy Spirit, so you are new in power. You receive it. But now, for you to change levels of power, you need to sit from time to time. Like you said, when you get to 100 level, you sit down. When you receive the 100 level power, to be, but you have to now do what? Sit down in 200 level. To be able to get 200 level what? Power, exactly. So as you change power in your walk with the Lord, you keep sitting down. I get what I'm saying? You keep waiting. You keep sitting down. You keep waiting, yes. But that sitting and that waiting is not a sitting and waiting that is to the detriment of the creation. I get what I'm saying? It's actually to the betterment of the creation, because every level you change, it will help creation. I get what I'm saying? Every level you change in power, it will help creation. But now, if we are not sitting to be endued, then we are keeping the creation on waiting list, and the creation is crying. Bible says the earnest vision waited for the manifestation. That's the reason why you see in I think it was in Hawaii, you know, a couple of weeks ago, there was an earthquake. It's an earthquake. That is the creation that is waiting. And Bible, the next verse says, well, the creation is groaning, it's groaning, groaning. Even the earth is groaning. Why? Because sons of God are not manifesting. They are doing business, oh, they are doing job, oh, they are doing career. Oh. See, some of you are not as busy as some of us. Are you getting me? Some of us are as busy as some of us. But with our busy schedule, we can still give the essence we need to give. Why? Because the sons of God are supposed to manifest. They are busy with everything, but not busy with God. Yeah. And so the creation, they are putting the creation on waiting list. And the interest of creation on waiting list is that there are many negative things that will be happening. Natural disasters. That's the effect of waiting list. When you keep the creation on waiting list for too long, the effect will be different things, natural disasters, different rubbish. And see what is happening today. Man abusing the normal use of his body, and man trying to convert woman to woman, and whether you like it or not, if you change the outer, you cannot change the inner. No matter how you do it, the man that you change to woman can never carry baby. Can he carry baby? It's not possible. It's not possible. Are you getting what I'm saying? And no matter how you do it, the woman that you change to man cannot ask them. It's not possible. But even the fact that they know that it's not possible, the devil's perversion is on the increase. Why? Because the sons of God have kept creation on waiting list. And we have sons, seemingly sons of God today, that even say you have to be politically correct. You have to understand the situations on ground. You have to be socioeconomically plenty English. Plenty English. The greatest plague on the church of Jesus today is political correctedness. We want to be politically correct. And Jesus told us that they will not like us. He told us that the world will not like us. He said, they hated me, they will hate you. So you now want to play your game for them to like you. Are you understand? You want the world to like you. And at the same time, want the creation to what? To not wait. You are waiting. We are wasting the time of creation. We are wasting the time of creation. Perversion is on the increase. Perversion. The devil is scheming many nonsense every now and then. Scheming many nonsense. The devil is thinking of many ways to destroy the human race. Are you getting what I'm saying? to destroy the human race. And instead of the sons of God to arise and save the human race, we are still being politically correct. Are you getting what I'm saying? And we are still being socioculturally adaptive. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus told us, he said, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. He told us. In other words, don't try to adapt to this world system. But the sons of God we have today are the ones that want to adapt to the world system. Socio-cultural adaptation. We have given, the devil has coined different titles for us to lose our fire. And instead of us rising up to the challenge, what are we doing? We are giving more reasons why we should lose fire. Praise God forevermore. Many more reasons. And somebody said, you don't need revival. Man of God, is this church that we are now, this one that needs more revival? In fact, it is. The first church did not even need revival. Because those ones, they just got born again. I get what I'm saying? Mm. And when they got born again, Jesus just as I said, as resurrected. So they had become born again. They just got born again. So at least they were supposed to even see grow. Are you getting what I'm saying? But Jesus did not allow them to even grow. Pow! He released power on them. Revival. Jesus stayed with them for 40 days. Let's say they used 40 days for their born-again experience to believe in Jesus and confess him. You understand? 40 days of born-again experience. After 40 days he left, Jesus just gave them 10 days and he hit revival. Pow! 10 days! He hit revival. Pentecost. Boom! That's the greatest revival ever. If there's anybody that did not need revival, it is them. They did not need revival. In quotes. Because they just got born again. Give them some time to understand. You understand? The terrains of the Christian faith. But Jesus knew that they don't need that time. He himself doesn't even have that time. Apostle Paul said, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Ah! Even Jesus knew that he doesn't have that time. So after 14 days, he told them, wait, he didn't have any extra time. 10 days, boom! He released revival on them. Bam! That was the same revival that Peter carried. And he walked past a beautiful gate. And the man who was there saw him and asked him for alms. And he said, silver and gold, I'm not ashamed that I don't have money in my bank account. I'm not ashamed that I don't have money in my mobile money. I'm not ashamed that I don't have money in my house. But you know what? I have something. And that thing I have, you need it more than you need money. He says, such as I have. That was the end result of revival, sir. See, what we have today is a bunch of Christians who have money in their bank account but don't have such as I have. So they have money, but devils are still facing them. They have money, demons are still beating them. They have money and their society is still messed up. So that's not the kind of Christianity I came for. I didn't come for the Christianity with a fat bank account and a lean spiritual life. No! No! I didn't come for a Christianity that I can give alms, but I cannot save souls. No. That's not the Christianity I came for. I want the Christianity that I can give life. He says, such as I have. Such as I have. I don't have what you are asking for, but I have what you need, sir. The world is asking for arms, but the world actually needs power of God. The world actually needs healing. The world actually needs deliverance. The world actually needs salvation. But we have messed it up in our minds, sir. Christians, we have messed it up. We think the world needs money. No! The world has more money than we are looking for. The devil took Jesus to the mountain and he showed him the riches of this world. He showed him. He said, bow down and worship me and I will give it to you. In other words, the devil is still the god of these ages. He's still the one in charge of mammon. See, we cannot compete with the devil in mammon. Don't forget something. We cannot compete with the devil in mammon. Are you getting what I'm saying? But we can override the devil with true riches. True riches is such as I have. Hey, it's such as I have. That's true riches. Jesus was speaking, he said, if you are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, how will then God commits true riches to you. I get what I'm saying? He said, if you are not faithful with what? Unrighteous mammon. How will God commit true riches? That means there's a level called unrighteous mammon. That's what the devil shows to Jesus. But Jesus said that he doesn't operate in the level of unrighteous mammon. He operates in the level of what? True riches. Unrighteous mammon is asking for alms. True riches is such as I have. And we have so messed up ourselves that we believe that it is alms that the world needs. So we don't have the mammon they have. We don't have it. Our business is not to compete with them in mammonization. No. Our business is to release such as I have. Such as I have. We don't have the welfare they have. Are you getting what I'm saying? We don't have the socialization. See what church has turned into. Church has turned into social group. Society. That's what church has turned into. Club. You see, one of the challenges I have with church ministry is that I'm not good in social group and club meeting. You know they call club now? Club and social group. The church is majorly a social group and a club meeting, not a power zone any longer. It's not a power zone again. That's why you see that we come and we cannot be filled, because the fivefold offices are to fill us so that we can go out there and do what? Ministry. But we come and the fivefold cannot fill us. Why? Because we have come to social gathering. Man of God, social gathering. We come and we do lighting. We come and we do, is it not lighting system. We do fine sound. We do beautiful equipments, beautiful musicals. And then we dance. All the dance that we learn from the world, we come and dance them in church, and we dance. And when I came to this country, I said, where did we get this one from? When they start praise and worship, they start dancing around. I said, hey, I never saw this one in my life in my country. They start dancing around. Everybody says, is it social group? is it cultural group? Everybody start dancing. I said, how did we get here? I said, okay, no problem. Let everybody also dance. We dance. We party. When we finish party, we leave them no power. No power. We party without power. Sir, Jesus did not call us for a party. He called us for a power encounter. Yeah. He told them, tarry in Jerusalem, not partying, but getting ready for power. That you be what? Endued with power. So don't tell me that the church does not need revival. This church we are today, this one we are doing, we need revival, sir. This one we are doing. 40 days, Jesus left. He couldn't wait more than 10 days. He released power on them. Go on. And the power just started in the upper room. They took it to the streets. Sir, where are we taking this power to? If there is power, we are supposed to be seeing it on the streets. Are you getting what I'm saying? On the streets. If it is only in the gathering together, in this building, that we see power, then we have not even passed Acts chapter 2. Are you getting what I'm saying? We are still in Acts chapter 2. But don't forget, the book of Acts was the name Acts to show that the Christians were acting. It was action. I get what I'm saying? It was no more theory. The Christians, these disciples are left theory level into what? Action, practical level. That's why it is called the book of Acts. It is called the Acts of the Apostles. They were not talking theory. Acts of the what? Apostles. They were acting the power of God, and it was action time. Over 2,000 years, action time began. What are we doing? Action time began over 2,000 years. Man of God, what are we doing now? And you tell me this church we are doing does not need revival. You tell me that this church, this one we are calling church, does not need revival. When they received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, Peter spoke, 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. They entered the streets. They became street men. Beautiful gate, he healed the man. They became street men. But see, they received, in Acts chapter 2, they received the Holy Ghost and what? Went to the streets. They were endued with power and they went to the streets. They received revival and they went to the streets. We, instead of us going to the streets, we are coming back. We are doing reverse movement. They received power. Are you getting me? And they went out. We, instead of us going out, we are reversing back. That you are telling me you don't need revival. Hey, leave that talk you are talking there. When iron that meant to be what? sharpening each other so that we go and cut the bondage that the devil is keeping people in. Well, instead of cutting bondage, we are cutting ourselves, warring against each other. And instead of us leaving the upper room and going out to manifest the power of God, we are backwarding and backsliding into the upper room continuously. Sir, we need to wake up. If nobody tells us that there's something wrong, we'll tell ourselves there's something wrong. There is something wrong somewhere. And our eyes of understanding have to be enlightened. That's to be enlightened. The world is looking for what we have inside. Are you getting what I'm saying? We can't keep telling them stories. They are telling us economic theories. They are telling us medical inventions. What do we have to offer them? What do we have to offer them? They know book more than we know book. What do we have to offer them? Oh. I'm not saying we should not be educated. Let's be educated, though. I'm not saying we should have money. Let's have money. But, sir, when we finish talking theory, are you getting what I'm saying? When we finish propounding economic theories and economic laws, are you getting me? When we finish doing scientific research and scientific, papers, when we finish medical discovery, sir, we'll come to the point where such as I have has to come out. Oh my God. I'm trying to remember the name of this man. Was it Livingstone or who? I'm trying to remember his name. It's not Livingstone. He came to an African nation, precisely South Africa, and a virus broke out. Eh? And this man was using when the virus broke out, anybody that touches the corpse of somebody that the virus killed, you contract the virus. It was that dangerous. How am I forgetting this name? The Holy Spirit helped me. It was that dangerous. And this man, it is discovered that this man was using his bare hands to carry. People were wearing PPE. You know PPEs now. Personal protective equipment. You cover all, cover your hand, cover. When COVID came, they were wearing PPE. Ebola, they were wearing PPE. People were wearing PPE to carry corpses, because the corpses, you should not touch it with your bare hand. To carry corpses and bury them. This man was using his normal hand to carry corpses and using his normal hand to attend to people. And they say, sir, how will you do this? And he told them, it's the life inside of me. You see, he told them, the life in me kills death. The life in me kills death. They say, it's not possible. Yeah. It's okay. Bring the virus and put it on man. They say, no, you can't do that. It's okay, no problem. They took his blood sample. Now they took his blood sample. They put the virus in his blood. As the virus touched his blood, the virus died. Life kills death. It was not by business. See, we are still joking in church. We say we are not, we don't revive. So we need revival. We need revival. This thing is not for men of God. This thing is for, his Bible says, this sign shall follow them that what? Believe. This sign shall follow men of God. It shall follow apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. No. This sign shall follow them that what? Believe. We need to revive our spirit, our mental reasoning, so that we can start believing some things about God. Because for some of us, God is fairy tales. I'm telling you, for some Christians, God is still stories. God is still fairy tales. For some Christians, when we tell this kind of stories, they say we are just saying stories. But sir, they are not stories. How am I forgetting his name? Hi, God, remember. Holy Spirit, remind me. I learned that he was so anointed that you cannot stand 6 feet close to him. As I'm standing now, you are standing there. You cannot stand 6 feet close to him. You have to stand 7 feet and above. If you stand 6 feet close to him, the power of God will fly you away. Boom. Yeah. And they took nations for Christ. They dealt with viruses. Are you getting what I'm saying? They killed viruses. They were the ones killing. in our time, virus are killing people. COVID-19, Christians were just showing how what are we? Look at COVID-19, what did it mean? We're showing how paper and featherweight we are. And after COVID-19, somebody came out and said something. He said, we just tried it. We did a test to see how we can make human beings obey. And he said, we tried. Man of God. So the devil sat down and saw how he would control us. It was a control factor they were trying to put in place. Control them to be, they have been doing this plan since how many years? Control them to behave in a particular way. And you have to use different things to control them. And they use COVID to try to control us to behave in a particular way. And they said at least their experiment works more. So they want to try that one again. You know that after COVID-19, there was supposed to be COVID, another COVID 2021 or something like that. But when people saw that, this thing, so people were trying to control us, they revolted. But see, it was even unbelievers that even started revolting before even the church started waking up. Why? Because we have risen at their level. And they now know that we are just at their level. I like education. I like knowledge. If there's anything I like knowledge. I like to know. I get what I'm saying. I actually desire that by last year, I would have read a lot of degrees, but it didn't work like that. Are you getting me? And I'm trusting God for God to bless me to be able to read more degrees. Are you getting me? I like to learn. I like to research. But my brother, my sister, more than knowledge is such as I have. Because you will get to a point where knowledge will get you stuck, where knowledge cannot go further. Then you need something bigger than knowledge. When science will fail you, when medicine will fail you, are you getting what I'm saying? When economics will fail you, you need something bigger than that. It's called such as I have. And the church tells me that we don't need revival. Sir, if we are revived, our society would have been telling us that we are revived. Nobody has told us these are the people that are turning the world upside down. Have you ever heard anybody saying it? Nobody has told us these Christians, they are turning the world upside down. Has anybody said it? Rather, they are saying we are not serious. You know, the founder of the owner of a particular company that produces diapers, you know diapers now, diapers for babies. He came out once. He had the guts, the impetus, and the locus standing to come out, and he said that all the Christians in America are not serious. It is not just, he didn't feel like talking. You get what I'm saying? He didn't feel like talking, sir. He said it because he understood something that we don't understand. And when he said it, what happened? The Christians got angry, and they said they will not buy his product again. Are you getting me? And when they said he will not buy his product again, the man came out and he said, I'm sorry. And when he said, I'm sorry, Christians started buying his product again. All that concerns him is that he has communicated and he still needs his business. So he has told them the truth. But we lied, they should not accept the truth. But no problem, he will apologize to them just for them to come and continue buying his product. But he has told them the truth. That statement he said some years ago is what is happening in America today. What's America happening in America? And my cry and my fear, my pain is for the African church. Because if we are the ones to take revival there, my brother, with this kind of present you are doing, what will we take? What will we carry? Is it this thing we'll carry? This confused Christianity? Is it this thing we'll carry? The people that argue, the people that argue the most are Christians. The people that fight themselves the most are Christians. Is it this confusion we want to carry to the kingdom of darkness? The kingdom of darkness that is very organized. You know they're very organized. Very organized people. They are angry with themselves, but they will fight inside. But outside, they'll come and smile as if nothing's happening. But we fight inside, we'll not bring it outside. The people that know how to watch their dirtiness the most are Christians. We'll bring all our dirty underwears and start watching it in the public. Where did we get here? And you say we don't need revival. No, but I say we don't need revival. We don't need revival. We even need it more than the first church. Because if they could testify, the Acts of the Apostle, if you look at it, the writer, is believed that it was Luke that wrote the Acts of the Apostle. And he wrote it to old noble Theophilus. Because they started hearing, you know, it was a government personnel that it was written to. And because the government started hearing of so many things about these Christians. And they were like, ah, who are these people said? You know, as usual, there will be propaganda and rumor about the people. And so they were trying to say, please, we are hearing some bad things about these people. Who are they? So Luke had to write to him to tell him that, see, these people we are talking about, these Christians are people that are genuine, people that are right, people that are pleasing before God. And let me now show you what they are doing to show that these people are not disturbing our society. You get what I'm saying? Rather, they are what? They are helping our society. And part of the things that Luke wrote was that the people said, these are the men that have turned the world upside down. In Acts, the disciples got into action and they said they have turned the world upside down. Who has told us today that we have turned the world upside down? Rather, they are telling us that we are the problem of the world now.
Yes.
They are telling us.
Yeah.
I always say it, and I do not mince words, and I owe nobody any apology. I say the problem they have in Accra is Christians. Christians. Not just Christians. Hey, not just Christians, Pentecostal Christians, Pentecostal, charismatic Pentecostal Christians. That's the problem in Accra. Yeah, I lived there for 5 years, so you can't tell me what I know. I always tell, I say, just carry out the Christians in Accra, move them from Accra, there'll be no problem in Accra again. How is it? And anybody that wants to say I'm saying, like, no problem. I was in Congo when I was watching about Ghana on television, and there were some, you know, there was a denomination I was really talking, and they were complaining about a denomination in the Christian faith. They were complaining about the Pentecostals. This was dated back 2016. I didn't even know that I was coming to meet. Are you getting me? And they were complaining about the Christian, the Pentecostals in Ghana, 2016. They're about, are you getting me? They were complaining about the Pentecostals. I didn't even take note of it. My wife was the one who really took note of it, but I didn't take note of it. But when I came, I realized. I just packed the Pentecostals in Accra, remove them from Accra, no problem in Accra again. Rather than we changing our society for good, we are causing problem to our society. Don't deal with a pastor in Accra, Pentecostal pastor. Don't deal with him. What you will see, you will never forget it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are we together? I was talking with somebody, and a person was telling me, he told me, the pastor who blessed her marriage, who joined her and her husband. The pastor, not another pastor, this very pastor who joined her and her husband, who blessed her marriage. Because she's in a different location from her husband now for some reasons, not because she wanted it, but necessity of life demanded it. She had to come and attend to a business. The pastor came to meet her 4 different times. He said the first time she thought he was joking. The pastor said, now, are you not lonely? Let's meet somewhere now, so that I can end your loneliness. So when he said it the first time, she thought he was joking. Thought I was not joking. See, until he came the 4th time, you know, this one is not correct. The pastor who joined her now, so that means when he was joining her and her husband, he was eyeing her to eat, waiting for the right time to eat. How did we get here, sir? How did we get here? And you're telling me that we are okay. We are not okay, we are sick. We are sick. We need treatment. Need treatment. We need treatment. So we don't need revival. See, any new creation teaching they want to teach, I know it. But see, the reality that is facing us is that we need to be overhauled. We need to be overhauled. You think that the world is not seeing what we are doing? They are looking for a solution. Instead of us giving a solution, we are giving them problem. We are actually compounding their problem and complicating their problem for them. Complicate the problem. You employ a Christian to your organization, you have employed problem. You have employed problem. You do business with a Pentecostal Christian, you have entered wahala. You have entered problem. And we say we don't need revival. We need revival like no man's business. Revival. Revival. We need it. How did we get this code? I don't know how we got this code, but whatever made us code, we have to pray it out. I get what I'm saying? We have to pray it out. That thing that has made us code like this, that even cold water is even hotter than us. Even ice block is hotter than us. We have to pray that thing out. We have to pray it out. We have to cast it out of us. Because when the first church came, the environment felt them. In the Welsh revival, even the animals felt the impact of revival. Sir, in the so-called revival that we say is happening in Africa, we're shouting that revival is happening in Africa. Revival is happening in Africa. People are getting healed. They come to church meetings, they are getting healed. Sir, they are getting healed in church meetings. How is it affecting our society? Sir, how is it affecting our society? I'm thankful to God that people are getting healed. Yes, we thank God. We are thankful to God for the power of God in our church meetings. We agree. We thank God. But my brother, my sister, what is the effect of these miracles we are seeing in our society? If the miracles we see inside cannot affect outside, we are doing funfair. It's association, it's club, it's get together. What else again? It's social gathering. What else again? It's jamboree. Are you getting me? Some of us will come for night vigil. Instead of us actually doing night vigil, we're actually doing nightclub. Dance, sing. When I came to this country, I saw that, man, the way they used to sing and dance in church, eh? They sing and dance, sing and dance for 2 hours. How many minutes do they give for the word of God? Say, 20 minutes. I thought it's me that is talking. Say, because I'm a missionary. They say this Nigerian missionaries that don't like us Ghanaians. I thought it's me that is talking. Thank God, say, or something, thank God, so far that is a countryman. He should not be sure he's talking. Sing and dance and sing and dance. When you will use church for nightclub and for afternoon club, how will there be power, sir? And we tell you, sit under the word of God, you see them, they have danced, they start sleeping. Sit under the word of God, they are itching. People like us, we're not used to dance and dance. We're used to word and word. So that's how we can preach for 3 hours. When I was in my camp meetings in Accra, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., only 1 hour break. They started asking, what are they doing in church from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.? What are they doing? And if you're a pastor, you hear that I'm teaching. 9 to 3. Only 20 minutes or 30 minutes to just worship and I enter. For like 5 hours. Every Sunday, I was teaching. Say, what are they teaching? What are they doing in church? If you're not dancing, we're not doing anything in church. Look at, we have danced. Look how we are. No, man of God. We have danced. We have danced. After the dancing, look at what we have turned out to be. And look at what our society is. The devil is still controlling factors for us and still shutting us up. We dance finish. I remember during COVID-19, a church came out to protest. When they were protesting, what happened? The leader, the church leader, the minister of the gospel in charge said, he said they should open our church back. No more offering and tithes are coming. Tithes and offering are not coming again. He said, tithes and offering are not coming. We the pastors here, it's not easy for us. No more tithes and offering. So they should open the church back. I was ashamed. When I saw the man talking on television, I was ashamed. Very much ashamed. So, what are we doing? We are doing a social group. Osusu, what do you call it here? Where the collection every month, where they come to Susu, exactly Susu. Church is Susu. It's Susu now. And this is what we use for the Susu tithe card. That's the Susu tithe card. Then we now have different, they say welfare offering. What else again? Collection. It's here I first came. Is when I came to Ghana, I heard that there's something called collection. When I was in my country, it was offering, we call it. That's what we still call it. But yes, I came, I heard there's collection. I said, I don't understand. Collection. Social club. Church is social club here. Collection. It's Susu we are doing here. Susu with tithe card. Susu with project offering. Susu with what else again? Collections, susu with welfare offering, susu with special vows, That's what we are doing in church, especially in Africa. Susu, Christian susu. And at the end of the day, is the church that now sit down and work on the susu collection and know how to disperse the susu collection. That's why we have done susu and we cannot impact our society. See, we are not created to be a susu club. It's not a susu society, man of God. We are created to be a powerhouse. The church is a powerhouse that would go out there and shake and cause changes in our society. I thank God for the healing miracles. They are saying there are so many miracles in Africa now, both the fake and the genuine. We thank God. But my brother, my sister, with all these miracles, look at our neighborhood. Look at our neighborhood. I'm not saying look at the nation as your nation as well. Don't look at your compound, your compound. What are these miracles that you are receiving doing in this your compound? Sir, if it cannot change your neighbor, we question that miracle. If the miracle you are receiving cannot change your neighborhood, and they cannot say this one is turning this neighborhood upside down, man, sir, we question the miracle. And it's time for us to start questioning these things. We were sent to change society. When Jesus comes into a society, Jesus causes an impact in society. If we have been sent to society, then Jesus must come into the society. I want to end us with something here. Jeremiah said something, and I always say this. I always say it because it is very important for every born-again child of God. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. It says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire." Hey! A burning... See, have you ever had what they call heartburn? Has it ever happened to you? Have you ever had it? Heartburn. Has it happened to you before? What is it like?
It's pressure.
Hey!
It's pressure.
Hey!
It's pressure.
Some people, when they take beans, it happens to them. Some people, some food... It's kind of like a reaction to some kind of food. Uh-huh. And when it happens,
it's something.
Hi!
It's something.
Now, you know what you felt when you felt heartburn. You can explain Jeremiah here. He said it is like what? He said it is like what? "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." I could not stay. The world was like fire, heartburn. When you're having heartburn, can you sit down one place? Can you relax? The church is still relaxed because this world has not entered our heart like fire. We are still relaxed. When you're expressing heartburn, you'll be uneasy. You'll be so perturbed. You'll be pacing up and down, rolling everywhere because you want the thing to end. See, when the word of God is like fire in our hearts, shut up in our bones, we'll be uneasy. We cannot rest until we release it. We cannot rest until the fire comes out. Are we together? We cannot rest.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, Kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 033-154-55-12013. With SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in cedis, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 033-254-551-2017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria. Account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233-54-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.